tapes over fake debates.
And we are live. SB Talk Sports, Sean Will. Real takes over fake debate. Sean, it is Friday. How you feeling, brother?
Doing good, SB. Friday, man. First of the month.
It's the first of the month. Wake up. See, I'm very excited for this episode. I've been trying to get my boy Calvin on. Shy hoop legend. Played at the university. Played at home. I finally caught my man's when he has some free time. Very busy man. So I finally caught him. I was like, look, bro, you free today? Hey, come on, bro. I need you for the episode of the pod. So without shadow of a doubt, welcome Calvin Brock to Real Takes Over Fake Debates. Calvin, what's going on, brother? I appreciate you taking the time. Let me put you up there. I ain't important. I could be down. I ain't important. But I appreciate you taking your time out your busy schedule to come join us on the podcast. It's been a long time in the works to get you on. It's NBA season back, so I figured this is the perfect time to get you on. How are you feeling, though, man?
Hey, first of all, thanks for having me, man. Definitely appreciative. I'm a big fan. I try to catch all the lives when I'm not working. You know what I mean? Sometimes I have a job. But I'm doing good, man. I'm blessed, man. I'm chilling, living life.
No, I appreciate it. Sean, I meant to tell you, Calvin, remember when I was like one of the couple people who said, Calvin was one of the first people who said, like, bro, why you never let me meet Sean when he was out here? And he was like, I was like, bro, Sean don't live out. He said, bro, y'all talk on the podcast like y'all hang out every day. He was one of the first people to say, he was like, yeah. He was like, damn, y'all got some y'all cooking.
I could see the chemistry, and I'm like, oh, they boys. He must live down the street. You know what I mean? When he told me you didn't live in Chicago, I was like, man, that's crazy. The connection y'all have, like y'all could, it feel like y'all known each other all y'all lives.
It's real. It's definitely real.
But we got to get into the show. Salute everybody watching. Make sure you guys like, make sure you guys share, make sure you guys subscribe, and also join us on Apple, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. I'm sorry. But Cal, appreciate you taking time, but we got to get right into it. So, like I said, Calvin Brock is a Chicago hoop legend. Played at Simeon. If you played at Simeon, you that deal in Chicago. But also, not just play at Simeon, you were number 25 at Simeon. So, for the people who don't know, what does that truly mean in the honor to wear 25 at Simeon? Like, let the people understand what that means.
So to actually like be honest about the situation, we're at 25 at Simeon.
Bro, I could have sworn I seen a picture. You went 25 at Simeon, bro.
I wish. I was a number 34, and that was because one of my teammates, when we had moved to Frost-Off, he had grabbed 25 before me, and so I went to 34, which was one of my favorite, like, hooping or sports numbers or whatnot. I didn't have it, but when they talk about like some of the Simeon greats, they associate me with the number 25. So that's an honor, bro. That's part of the reason why I have it tattooed on me. But also my freshman year of college, and I'm jumping ahead, but my freshman year of college, I had number 15. Anderson, Deion Thomas, who also went to Simeon and had number 25, they was like, oh, no, kid, you got to have 25 at Illinois. And so that's why I changed after my freshman year.
Yeah, 25. You know, but you also did, yes, you did play at the U of I, University of Illinois. But, see, you was at the University of Illinois at a time where, like, people was, like, going crazy over a university. I even shout out Ayo Dosunmu. He done brought it back a little bit. But yeah. You was there with Luther Head, Darren Williams, D. Brown, Rich McBride. Talk about during that time while playing with the University of Illinois. I know it was probably crazy during that time.
I mean, with the culture that we had in my high school, like, we used to win. And so it was only right that I go to U of I, because at that point in time, like, they were not slouches. They were taking care of business on and off the court. It was great, man, dude. It was a great experience. Got to see a lot of different aspects of the game, practicing and playing with those guys. Even though I redshirted, it was still an experience where I grew as an athlete and as a young man. You know what I mean? Like those guys, like me being from Chicago, two of the top players on the team at the time, Brown and Luther Head, they're my mentors. So like they helping me grow as a young man, individual, but also getting me better as an athlete.
So what's the, because obviously I know I skipped a little college a little bit because I did want to, me and Sean definitely wanted to get, did go into your high school time here in Chicago.
Oh, we could go back to it. It don't have to be.
Yeah. Then I want one question though, because like you was in the Chicago hoop scene and hoop around. So like it's different like going outside hooping. Well, we hoop anywhere in Chicago, but yeah, you was like hooping with like pros, people. What's the, who was the toughest person or who was like one of the coldest runs you ever had with in Chicago, period? Or you can do your high school tag contest. What was one of the coldest Chicago runs you had when you played? You was like, oh, we hooping. I'm on the court with these people. Oh, it's going down.
I I've been around for a while. I had a lot of good hoop sessions, but with a lot of great players, man. And I played with a lot of great players in a lot of different summer leagues or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And no disrespect to any of the guys who I played with or some of my boys who I know they got game, but I would say one of my favorite hoop sessions was when I got to play. I did a run at a park on Cermak. It's like 22nd. Mm-hmm. Oh, not Cermak, sorry, State. It's okay. like 20th, 21st in State. One of my teammates, Reginald Robinson, he used to run or open that gym or that park district. Sorry.
Yeah.
D Rose was up there.
Oh.
That was my first time going against him since high school. In high school, I ain't gonna lie, like he taught me, he put that he pulled that belt out a lot of days, you know.
Oh.
Back to him. But yeah, that was probably one of my favorite ones, playing against him after like high school and college. Like I was playing in Europe and he was I think he was going to Memphis for his first and only season, but that was probably one of my favorite ones, just going against him again.
So was Derrick Rose the coldest person like you ever played against, or who was the coldest hooper you ever seen? I know like in Chicago, everybody loves talking about KG, but KG teammate, why is his name blanking my mind right now? KG teammate from Farragut, who was like cold. Ronnie Fields. Everybody like raved how like cold Ronnie Fields was, and he was like even better than KG. Who is the coldest? Who is the coldest hooper you ever seen, or Chicago hooper you ever seen?
So, out of all the players I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of them, I would say my favorite in person, and my friends, like they'll tell you, like he said that and he stuck with it. But my favorite seeing actually in person is Will Bynum.
Will Bynum?
That dude was a nightmare, and I watched Sharon a lot after Will left because Sharon used to train and work out with him, okay. And so like a lot of Sharon's game was like Will's. He just didn't have the athleticism, but everything else, man, they were like a splitting image. But Will Bynum, because he was so small in stature, but he held a big presence on the court, man.
Will Bynum was like, what was it? So it was just like he was just, what did Will Bynum do? He would just kill everybody out. You seen him hoop?
He would dominate the matchup, man. I'm not gonna say he dominated the matchup, but if it was a player like alongside him or that he faced against, like some of them will hold their ground too. You know what I mean? I saw the game when him and Sean Dockery played, and Sean had more points, but Will and Crane ended up winning. But I would just say, like, he was never – his light switch was never off. It was always on anytime I saw him play.
Rashard.
No, I do have a question for you because I know we want to – you know, I want to get a little more into your career. I know you went overseas.
Yeah.
Get over in Europe and things like that. Can you talk about just the cultural differences in playing overseas versus playing – here in the United States and what that was like for you?
I think on the court, it was pretty much the same, you know, like bad. I feel like any sport, like fans are gonna be fans no matter where you play that game. I think the big difference was just me seeing different parts of the world and experience the different cultures. That's what made my years playing in Europe like great for me, because when I first started playing overseas, like Europe, my first week, like I literally cried every day going to bed because I had never left the country before then. One of my teammates, short story, one of my teammates, my first year came to pick me up. German guy, short, strong, skinhead, but he playing Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Gin and Juice. So I'm like, hey, like I'm at home, you know?
Right.
I just think like just experiencing different cultures and seeing different parts of the world was probably the most that I took from my overseas experience. Of course, the basketball is great. It's a different culture with how rowdy they let the crowds get compared to the States. But
man,
I mean, if you love a sport, you love a sport. And so it was love on and off the court.
I ain't gonna lie. Like our crowds compared to like overseas crowds, we suck. I'm sorry. Overseas, they are real fans of the team, bro. They be rowdy, bro. In there.
Yeah, dude. My girlfriend, she wanted to see like what a crowd would look like. And so I would send her like Instagram posts of like the arenas, like right before they started games. Them basketball games look like soccer games, and the soccer matches in Europe look like it's about to be a gladiator war. Seriously,
they fighting for their life out there.
But, and them fans dedicated. I loved it.
But also, go back to like the college thing real quick. Yeah. What was one college story you could tell us? Like, it could be one of your, like, a game story or a bad practice. What was like your welcome? What they say, welcome to the NBA moment. What was like your welcome to like college moment, or even with overseas? What was your ever like welcome to the pros moment or anything? Where you was like, oh, okay, this was different.
So I'll give you all two stories. One story that stick with me a lot, and I realized like it's not like it's competitive, like the competitiveness is crazier between the levels that you play sports. So we're in practice and we're running a diamond press. And we end up, the defense is running the diamond press on us. It was starters versus the second string guys because it was the day before a game. So I was taking the ball down. I threw a turnover, and Brian Randle caught it at 3-point line. And mind you, Brian Randle, like 6'7", 215, freakish athlete. And so, like, I'm already under the rim, and he caught the ball in stride. So he got the momentum coming to the rim.
Oh, Lord.
He was going, and I knew I threw the turnover, so I'm like, I got to contest. You know, like, that was my mental, but that was also what coaches expected. And so he came, and I saw he had the edge. I didn't jump. And my coach, like, he got ticked off at me and was cursing me out and made me run the stairs in State Farm Arena, because that's the name of it now at U of I. We were practicing in our arena, so it's State Farm Arena. I had to run up and down the stairs just because I didn't contest, and like that's how I knew.
Did you want
to
get dunked on? He bogus.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I just knew he had the edge, but my coaches, they don't care about. It's not saying they don't care about somebody getting injured, but they care if you're not playing hard. And that's when I knew. I'm like, oh, I gotta go every play. I gotta go hard every play because they looking at every little thing. And second story, my most memorable moment, hands down, would be the Elite Eight game in 04, and to get to the Final Four. Man, Allstate Arena, like the ground was shaking. That's how crazy those fans were going when we made our run. And just being like it looked like a video game. It looked like you was playing. It looked like you was playing NBA Live, because these dudes just coming down and making play after play after play after play, and it's like, at first, like during the game, like we had our hopes down, and not because we didn't think we were going to make a run. It's because we were playing against a great team in Arizona that had five NBA players in their starting lineup that year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fry, Channing Fry, 6'11", shooting threes, like five, six feet back from the three-point line, and he making no shots. We like, oh, no. Nah. We not going to win if they keep hitting like this.
What, oh, wait. You played Gil? Gil was on that team, right? Gil, Channing
Fry? No.
That was later.
Okay. I know Channing Fry.
It was Mustafa Shakur, Salim Stoudemire, Channing Fry, Radinovic. I know I'm missing. It's like two or three other guys that were on that team that were like pro prospects and had successful careers overseas. But no, it wasn't Gilbert. But I ain't that old. Gilbert played against that team with Corey Bradford, I want to say.
Okay.
Played that Illinois game back in like late 90s, early 200s, 2000s.
So obviously we talk about college though, right? Yeah. And we got the NIL now. When you was in there, it wasn't NIL at the time. I want you to tell me how you feel about like the NIL in general, that college players are actually getting compensated, which has been well overdue. But yeah. How you feel about that?
I think it's great. I think it's great. Just thinking about like, I mean, of course, like the second part is like how much college sports actually generates to a school, to a conference, to even a town. You know what I mean? How much money they bring to a town. Like, yeah. And especially if you're an athlete well, it doesn't matter if your team is good or not. Like, that town or city is going to support. They're going to have fans. They're going to have people that support them. That's generating money. You know what I mean? I feel like they should get a chunk of it. I think even before NIL came along, I talked to one of my friends and I told him, I was just thinking about like after my career ended injury, I just thought about like athletes who've done it for so long. They get to college, they graduate, and it's tough for them to find a job because whatever sport they play, that's all they know. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I was like, man, why not give the athletes who actually finish school, graduate, get their degree, why not give them like 20 to 25K as a startup, like to figure out what they want to do? Because
I agree with that.
With playing sports all your life, that's all you know. All you know is get up at 6 a.m. go to practice. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I'm glad they're compensating athletes, but I think it should also extend to those who may not be getting one of these NIL deals. You know what I mean? Like it should cover all athletes and not just the hot ones or the popular ones, you know?
Yeah. Go ahead, Sean. Go ahead.
I do want to just ask a follow-up question. Just from an athlete's perspective, are you concerned from an NIL perspective without better regulation from the NCAA with these schools about competitive balance, or just from an athlete's perspective, it's like, hey, get as much as you can. Don't worry about, you know, the competitive balance over the long term.
Yeah. I mean, like every new law, every new order, it's gonna have its pros and its cons. I think for now, like it's good, but I do see, like you said, some of the red flags in the situation, if proper protocol isn't taking place sooner than later. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like on one side you see like it could be really positive for athletes, but then you also have to take the good with the bad with the good.
Yeah. And
like it could either go south, you know.
Yeah.
I just think it depends on how like officials, coaches, players, lawyers, whoever involved, like how delicate they treat the situation moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, because perfect example of that. I know. Did you see what happened with the guy at UNLV? And it was like he said the school or the assistant promised him X amount of dollars, and then when he got there, they didn't pay him nothing. And that's what I do think, like, because I know you done probably went through that or got stories with other players where they'd be like, "Oh yeah, if you commit to my school, you guarantee the starting spot." Like, people don't talk about, like, that's like two dark things about, like, dark side of playing sports. Like, people don't talk about, like, what if you don't make it this far and you've been dedicating your life and all you know is playing this sport. They don't have nothing in place to push athletes to live a regular life. Because this is like, bro, you've been doing something your whole life.
Well, I'm and sorry to cut you off. I can't say it's them trying to, like, it's them pushing us to think that we can't live a regular life. I think it's just us being in that schedule and regiment so much, and it being drilled in our brains, we think that way. Like, the coach is the strings. We the puppet, but for the most part, we wanted to become that puppet.
Yeah,
so we did everything it took to become that puppet.
Yeah. And then the second part, obviously, it was like they also talk about dark side of, like, these programs and these coaches lying to players. Like, now, because now it ain't just like I'm promising you a position. I'm promising you, hey, you're going to start and we're going to give you a $100,000 NIL deal with this. So now it's like, I'm glad it's coming to light about that, because people don't talk about that. Because I know you probably got a couple boys that was like, yeah, I only committed to the school because they told me I was going to be the starting center or starting PG, or I was going to be this in the rotation. And then when you get to the school, it'd be a whole different thing. Like, oh, no, you ain't guaranteed nothing, or no, you're not really going here.
So I can't. I mean, I know I have stories, but I can't think of anyone in particular to talk about. I just give my opinion on this situation. I feel like the NIL is basically what coach has been doing before this rule was created. You know what I mean? And it was just basically while they were doing it, just basically like, who could be the best at not getting caught? You know? And then you got to think about the teams that are good at it, but they're successful at the same time. So they're not going for all these teams. They let you know that you on thin ice. But as soon as you make a mistake where something get caught up or brought up in the news, everything going down on you. You know, like, I mean, coach has been doing that since who knows when, you know what I mean? Bribes, like, even back in the day, I probably wasn't a bribe of money. It was a bribe off living and food every day. You know what I mean? I'm just glad it's getting regulated and the athletes are actually getting some compensation for how many millions they bring in to their university or their conference. Because, like, being an athlete, like, I think about this aspect, whereas only men's basketball and football charge for people to attend their events.
Even if you're a student?
None of the other sports charge any money. It's only they only generate money off the basketball and the football team, sales-wise and
that's true.
Everything like that. Like, the colleges, they have to split the team with their school, but also split money with their conference. So they're splitting money with their conference, then they split with their school, and then they have their own money, whatever is left over. Dude, do you know how, like, crazy that sounds?
No, that's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, like, how much money it has to be for them to do that. Go talk those hands, and then the schools still have money to take care of everything and more that they have to take care of.
We're talking some M's.
It's a lot of money, you know, and that's why I'm glad, like, some of these young men and women are getting compensated for it.
Let me one follow up to this, and I know we don't spend all our time on this.
Yeah,
should former college athletes receive retroactive NIL compensation?
I agree. Okay, I would agree. If I was received any sort of compensation, I would take it. That's just a personal problem. That's just a personal opinion. Sorry. I think, like, a lot of the former athletes, like, they're fine with just this being the new right now, and they're just happy or overjoyed because athletes are getting compensated. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, satisfied with someone retrieving compensation for the blood, sweat, and tears that athletes do put in, the work, the hard work, everything that they put in with their respective universities. So I think more than half, because I mean, we've been out of college so long, like, shit, we had to figure it out. You know what I mean? Sorry for the swear word.
No, it's okay.
But once you get a certain age, you figure it out. So it's like, yeah, it's like you loved your college days, but like, it was your college days. Like, you're not living vicariously through that. Some people do, but for most, like, it's kind of like they moved on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of Al Bundys out here, you know, still talking.
Yeah. So, but we, like, also we brought up that obviously you was heavy in the Chicago hoop scene, played for Simeon. You also brought up, like, you played Derrick Rose. Nobody went by them, Sherrod Collins. Yeah. But Derrick Rose made a strong statement, and me and Sean both was on both sides of it. He said he believed Derrick Rose said he believed Michael Jordan wouldn't have been MJ, the GOAT, without the Chicago and Chicago Bulls, because the coach of Chicago, people would be like, I know you probably seen people like, oh, you won one, bet you can't do it. You know how people in Chicago be, how we talk. So do you agree with what Derrick Rose said, or do you disagree?
I don't disagree or agree. I feel like if you have a certain type of mentality, Chicago fans, the Chicago culture, they will notice it, and that's what we love. I feel like they gonna rock with you. D Rose was the same way. You got to be a certain type of competitor to play for any Chicago team, one, and be successful. And then, like, the fans, like, we gonna be tough on you from the start, but at the end of the day, we gonna love you. You know what I mean? We gonna love you. We gonna be loyal. So I feel like MJ was just such a great competitor. It wouldn't have mattered where he went. Same with D Rose. Mm-hmm. Same with D Rose. They just so competitive, and they work hard, man. They work their butts off. They work their tails off. Like, I've witnessed D Rose, you know what I mean? Like, and he don't talk until you get him riled up. Then when you start talking, it get crazier, it get darker.
You see, they said that the people was getting the Derrick Rose flu. Man. Is that a real thing? Man? Did you see that even like in the Chicago scene with Derrick Rose hooping? Was people getting the Derrick Rose for real?
No, Chicago too competitive for anybody on a high school level to ever back down to him. But but when there's money on the line, and you in the NBA, you got like a crazy contract, and you know this dude going through a thing right now, you might want to sit a lot more than you on that court. And it's like, He was just so, he went hard, dude. Like, everything. I tell everybody, I'm like, man, this dude has LeBron athleticism. Like basically, like, comparing, like, he has a jet engine and a Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
And a note, like, because he was 6'2", 6'3". But this dude had athleticism like LeBron. And I tell people, I watch highlights of his layups, and them damn near as good as watching anybody highlights of dunks.
Mm-hmm. Now, Derrick Rose was different. Also, the Derrick Rose flu did happen one time in high school. Brandon Jennings alluded to it when they played them, because he went to Oak Hill. And he said the coach scheduled Simeon, and he told the coach, don't schedule this game because we going to lose. And they was undefeated that year. They went right and played Chicago. Derrick Rose put the BTA to them boys.
Yeah.
Brandon Jennings said he's still mad about that loss to this day.
Yeah. I watched that game from time to time. I like the little snippet of the game, like the little documentary they did where they have that game in it.
Brandon Jennings, he's a really good high school, college, or not high school, European and professional player. Mm-hmm. He was competitive, but he just ran into a beast that he ain't know nothing about. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like D Rose, what, 6'3", but he just as athletic and quick. He's just as athletic as any guy taller than him, but just as fast and agile and quick as anybody smaller than him. So like, you got that combo, man. It's crazy. And they didn't know what they were going up against.
Now, speaking of, we were talking about Jordan. I know, you know, all the old heads, especially when our clip is going to be too, they're like, oh, you met Jordan. So you met Michael Jordan on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the couple times you met Michael Jordan and how it was? At least let's start with the first time you met him.
Yeah. So the first time I met him, I talked about the practice earlier today. And how he was able to get access to our shoot around when no parents were allowed. But I usually would hang out with Jeff Jordan between shoot around. We like play video games or something, like just take our mind off things before a game. And so we get to Jeff crib, and we lived in the same building. He was just a few floors up above me. But we went to his crib, and like, his dad was already in there. So it's like, okay, somebody at the front desk let you in, and so you just in here, you know? Mm-hmm. And so said, what's up to Jeff? And then he looked at me and he was like, Calvin? And I was like, yeah, I'm Calvin. He said, man, I'm gonna need you to start hooping like last year. And I was like, what? it like threw me off because like, it's my first time meeting him, so I'm thinking it's his first time meeting me.
Right. And
it was physically, but like he had knew about me before, and for him to acknowledge that, man, dude, like that was better than getting an autograph, because it's like, dude, you was watching me, you know what I mean?
Right. Then he had that. Everybody said they first meet you. Then he had that aura glow. He wasn't floating or nothing, was he?
Oh no, he wasn't floating, but you definitely and this was he was long done hooping. Like when, right. when he came to the game, he was well retired, but his presence, like certain people hold a presence, and he one of the he one of them ones, if not the one.
So oh wait, Blue Ball had a comment. Blue Ball, Calvin liked LeBron. I know he was like, he slew as being shy. Ask Calvin, is he a LeBron hater or do he have LeBron top five? Laughing my butt off. What you got LeBron ranked?
I don't, because my ranking is switch. Sometimes I debate one the fifth final position. Mm-hmm. But LeBron definitely I'll give him he's that interchangeable person. Mm-hmm. He could be that sixth sometimes or that fifth.
Okay. You
know, that's just based off of like players from the past and even players in the future. You know what I mean? Like I'm not a LeBron hater, but I do hate the debates between MJ and LeBron because I don't think it's even close.
respectfully, but also now tell me the other story. So you met Jordan and you were shocked that he like knew you. That I ain't gonna lie, that's probably any hooper dream, like Michael Jordan actually know and recognize you and watched you hoop. But yeah. what was another time that you met Mike? What was the other story?
The next story, we went to their crib in Skokie. Mm-hmm.
The 2-3 gate crib.
The 2-3 gate. Jeff invited me over to watch the game. This is when the Lakers with Kobe were playing against the Magic with Dwight Howard and Big Baby. That was my roommate in the Round Ball Classic, and like my mom loved this dude. But yeah, we went out there. Dude, it was like a cool, casual type situation. But like these dudes, like when they talk about him being competitive and gambling, like he's a competitor.
Jordan talking crazy.
They was playing spades, and sometimes they would get louder than the TV with the game on. Cause him, Charles Oakley, Dickie Simpkins, and another gentleman, they playing spades for a couple hundred a hand each man. And I'm like, damn, like they was going all night. we were there, like we watched the game, went and hooped on the court, came back, like they gambled. But it was a good experience. And also different because I got to see him outside of what you just see on the court or just on TV. You know what I mean? I got to see him like hanging out, chilling, doing what he do on a regular. And like, until people see that side of like people that they're astounded by or love or aspire to be like, until you actually see them in that setting, you think, it's a facade for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I think it was great to see him like with his feet up and just hanging out. Like, it lets me know like, oh, this dude, not just Black Jesus, he a real dude, you know?
Yeah. But it is crazy though, because sometimes it ain't always good to meet. They always say it ain't always good to meet your idol. So sometimes it is good to see somebody.
Yeah. Right? And that's the one thing, like, if you liking somebody, if you feeling somebody, or you love somebody or admire what they do, like, it's good to actually meet them so you actually know. So, you know, so it was one of those experiences where I'm like, oh man, he cool. I kicked my feet up after that because he not the only, I was walking on eggshells.
He's like, I'm in my crib. Hold on. Let's
go. Yeah.
So, Sean, you got a question with the Jordan thing? Anything?
No Jordan questions. I do have a NBA question for Calvin, but because I don't know how much longer he's gonna be with us. But
if you want to ask him, you can ask him now before we go, because Calvin made a point about the GOAT debate thing, and I want to get back on that. But you can ask Calvin your NBA question first.
All right, so Calvin, you know, I know you Hooper, NBA fan, still probably keep up with the game.
Yeah.
What is the biggest concern for you as former Hooper, NBA fan? Is it too many threes or low management?
I just think the game since I've played it, and if you watch and know the history of basketball, it's always evolving. The game is always gonna change, but the players are the ones that are different, and the ones that solidify themselves and stamp themselves as these top tier, middle tier, lower tier, whatever level they stamp themselves or solidify themselves on. I just think the debate should be based off of a person's presence, will to not lose, and their fight. Like, it's not just based off breaking records. Anybody could break a record but not be on a championship team. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what it's about. It's about the full body. Yeah. What are you doing? Are you putting everything on the line for your team to win? Mm-hmm. I feel like when people talk about MJ, like, they talk about how he was hard on his players, but the thing is, he's not willing to tell them to do anything that he's not willing to do or put his legacy on the line for.
Right. So you think the players today care too much about their legacy? That's why they just doing all these 3-point shooters and just comparing, like, for championships? It's a legacy thing that's what changed the game, maybe? Why they shoot so many threes?
Oh, shooting so many threes. I think these players all think they Steph Curry. Steph Curry put up probably a couple hundred to 1,000 shots a day. That's why he able to shoot and not hold his follow through. And I think kids think like it's just gonna happen overnight. You have to put in the work. You have to actually put in the time and the work to be one of those players to just throw up shots and turn around and look at the crowd and you know it's going in.
But Cal, do you think it made it harder to change from, like, because you play Euro, like, they say it's like just Euro style, but really just add like the speed of play. But do you think it make it harder to go away from heavy 3-point shooting teams, because we just seen Boston just won heavy. They almost put up like 100 threes in two games not too long ago. And then you got teams like the Warriors won. So do you think it's hard to tell teams like, hey, it's different ways to attack on the court, maybe in the post, be a mid-range shooting team, maybe be a defensive heavy team. But since we just seen the Boston Celtics and then the Warriors going a great run, you think that's hard for teams to go away from shooting so many 3-pointers?
I don't think it's hard to go away from it. I think that'll be strictly based off the coach and management, like what style of team they want to have. I think a lot of kids do watch the game and they think like that's the way to go. But also you have to think like it's always a weakness or a way to beat somebody. So even if you're a team that where you feel like, oh, we'll have a higher success rate if we shoot more threes, but you got to think of like who's shooting the threes, the situation of when they shot the three, and what you have as a counter if those threes not going in. You know what I mean? So I feel like that's just based off the style of play that team want to have. But if you want to be a team like that and to be successful, you have to put those right pieces together.
Now, what we was talking about, because I think you was throwing a little bit in there about the GOAT debate. I also feel like the GOAT debate is ruining basketball because you said you got LeBron at like five, maybe six. So what's your five just for the contest? Who's the five greatest basketball players of all time for you?
No, I was saying LeBron is like my top five greatest players. Now GOAT debate. Well, I'll give you my top five. My top five. And this is tough, but like I said, it's always interchangeable. Obviously
Mike won. I think you got Mike won.
Yeah, of course, MJ, Tim Duncan. Okay. I like Olajuwon at the five, Tim Duncan at the four. MJ, you could put him at the one, two, or three. Kobe. Other guard, and then I'll take AI.
You rank them by making a starting five.
Yeah, I'm doing a starting five by position.
Okay, so now when it comes to the GOAT debate, the general public do LeBron and Jordan. And I feel like it got like so toxic and it is ruining basketball so much where it's like people don't even care about watching a regular game day of basketball or don't watch the regular game day of basketball, but they just do about LeBron and Jordan and then they go tip and tap everything. And then we also seeing it now, obviously you hoop with Jeff Jordan and you know Marcus too. I feel like the unfairness is trickling down on like Bronny and now Marcus and Jeff because they just want to prove a point. Like I just seen people legitimately post like, all right, there's Bronny. This is what Bronny doing right now. Look what Marcus and Jeff are doing. LeBron to go because his son in the league. Or Bronny trash in the league. He can't compete. That's why Jordan to go. And I feel like he's even trickling down on them. Like, I get, like, when your father is, like, LeBron or Jordan, it's going to be a high standard to live up to. But what you got to say about, like, the unfairness and the criticism that Bronny James and Marcus and Jeff is getting because of something stupid as, like, who is the greatest player in basketball?
I definitely think it's unfair to both sides. You have to think, like, and a lot of people don't think about this, like, Jeff and Marcus didn't pursue basketball after college. They played in every All-American game, so they could have got a chance to play in the summer league. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They didn't pursue it because, for whatever reason, that was their decision. Right. You know what I mean? Bronny's son did pursue it. Right. You know, and I mean, like, I'm not saying it didn't help that his dad is who his dad, but if Jeff and Marcus really wanted to do that, then I'm pretty sure they would have been in the same situation as well. You get what I mean? So, like, it was their decision, the fairness to compare. Even with Bronny getting picked and making the league, I still feel it's unfair to both sides. Like, this is what he loved, what he want to do. Even if his dad is his dad and may have a little influence in certain situations, he was the 55th pick. You know what I mean? Like,
they act like you're the first pick.
like some of the guys that they pick in the, like, these teams nowadays, I feel like they pick now off of a young man, and I'm just talking about NBA. I know WNBA, but I don't pay attention to all athletes individual, like NBA. But I feel like they pick based off
potential or like how high the person's ceiling is. But the thing is, like, it could be a random person. They could walk in any arena. Your ceiling gonna be high because they don't know what you could do or know where you could be. But he was drafted at the 55th pick, and I'm pretty sure he's gonna play in the G League. But all these people like talking like negative about him, I feel like, come on, man, like the kid is 19 years old. Yeah. He's lucky to be alive today, you know what I mean? And like,
especially in this world.
Like, you got some of these guys in the first round that's trash, but we're not talking about them. We keeping it on Bronny because of who his dad is. So I feel like it's unfair to both sides, man.
Yeah. But Sean, you got something?
Yeah, I do. I want to go back to something really quick. And again, just want to say thank you, Cal, for joining us tonight. Really appreciate you taking time to join us on the pod. But
thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. No, anytime, of course. Yeah, you know, you got to come back. You definitely got to come back. But I wanted to ask you about just, you know, the models and the game, you know, in your game. So who did you model your game after, you know, coming up? And the second part is there anybody you watch in the NBA today and you say they kind of remind me of how I play, you know, coming up?
Okay, so I wasn't as athletic as him, of course, but the person I actually like wanted to play like, I'm not gonna say I modeled my game after anybody. All I knew was play hard, so I played hard. Like, even with a lot of the accolades that I've gotten over the years, like, I don't feel like I was the most talented person. Right. But I always did what I was asked of my coaches, and I always made sure I played hard. But one guy when I was in high school that I loved and I wanted to play like was Vince Carter. And Vince Carter is a guy that's – he's not even NBA top 75. And when he first started, he was like one of the guys they were talking about, like, that's the closest thing to Mike. I watch and pay attention to that, but that was one of the guys who I wanted to play like. And as a model of my game, I didn't model my game after anybody. I just worked hard, man. I just worked hard and wanted to play the hardest every time because you never know what could happen. And what was the second question again?
No, the second part was, is there anybody you watch today and you say they kind of remind me and how I played when I was, you know, playing and coming, you know, coming up?
It's a few guys. I want to say, and no disrespect to him, me trying to compare myself to him.
I don't know.
I want to say like a guy like Jaylen Brown that played both sides of the ball. Any that play both sides, I rock with you because I felt like that's what I do. And the first that come to mind, because he didn't get asked to play on the USA team, and I was kind of disappointed at that, that decision not being made. But I would say a guy like that, a guy like J.R. Smith like that, that wanted to get the crowd into it, get the crowd hype, you know, and play both sides of the ball, respect the game, play hard, and not try to hurt anybody while doing so.
A lot of people do that. That's true about that. A lot of people do be out there trying to hurt people. A lot of people do. Now, Cal, I don't know how long we might got you for. At least I got to get a little NBA out of you. Then I know.
All right.
I know you got to go soon. So, breaking news real quick. Joel Embiid rips the criticism. He said this bull beep, you know, you could fill in the blank with that one, because of him missing games. And he said he did – the criticism coming from the fans, and he pretty much said he did way too much for the city of Philadelphia to be getting criticized the way he getting criticized.
Yeah.
Do you think it's fair that they criticize him? Because obviously I know you had a serious injury before you tore your LCL. I know the struggles of trying to come back and play or playing from injuries at all. But for me, from Joel Embiid point, I'm like, bro, Joel, you missed like your first two seasons. They waited for you. Now they got you here, and it's actually close to a chance to winning, and you just not available. It started with the back-to-backs, and you haven't played this season. But yeah. what is your reaction to his comment? Because he was very upset in the interview, but he said he done way too much for the city. Do you agree or disagree with Joel Embiid? Or at least the criticism of Joel Embiid. Or the criticism, more point, the criticism of Joel Embiid.
I think with how both sides feel, I feel like they have their right to their opinion. The fans have their right to their opinion. Joel has his right to his opinion. But where they need to find common ground is, what is everything based on? The fans basing it off of the lack of him being there or being accessible for the team. And his argument is basically, I've done a lot. And he's done a lot, like, when it comes to, like, fan base, sales and everything. But it's like, dude, like, come on. You all only get to, like, the first, maybe second round, and y'all do good during the season, but first, second round, and it's like, everybody choking, you know what I mean?
Or he out, or he hurt.
Or he hurt. And I'm not going to say they choking, but they not getting over that hump. Because I don't want to disrespect them. Like, they hooping, but they just don't have what it take to get over that next hump to get to the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals, you know what I mean? So I feel like it's just going to be a repeating drum. Or back and forth drama, because both parties aren't getting what they want, but the championship.
Okay. Now, Sean, we're gonna come back to it because I know Cal got to go, so I want to get his last opinion on this one before I get about it. I know, Cal, you got to go, but so the Bucks are playing terrible right now. Doc Rivers ain't been doing a good job. But talk about Doc Rivers, we could probably talk about it a different day, or I call you, we can talk about how bad Doc Rivers is doing his job, but whatever. The Bucks are going so bad that now it's a possibility they might tank and blow up the team. And Giannis ain't say I want to be traded, but he did say if I was traded, the destination that I want to go is Miami or Brooklyn. So if Giannis was to get traded, what do you think the best situation for Giannis to go?
I think for Giannis and for whichever team he goes to, like, it's going to be a great situation. I feel like it would be better. I feel like it would be equally great, or be like a rise in both him and as an organization, because I feel like if he gets traded, he gonna feel like he's one of those guys that plays hard all the time, and I feel like he gonna feel like he got a target on his, he in a new situation. Yeah, so you get Giannis like amped up like that, like, I feel like he could make a lot of things happen for an organization. So I feel like it would be good. It would be good for him as an individual, but for the organization as well. But I feel like even like with him making that comment, that was basically him saying, like, oh, I think I want to be here. So let's try to make some changes within before I have to leave. You know, I feel like he loves Milwaukee. You know what I mean? I feel like he loves the organization, but even with you loving the team or the organization, there's always going to be little points where you may not love as much, you know, and they just got those kinks to make sure they keep them.
And if you had to pick a team, who would be the best fit for Giannis? So if you were this team, you calling to get Giannis right now, what team is that?
He You talking about between Brooklyn and Miami?
No, any team.
Well, I'm just gonna keep it between Brooklyn and Miami because you brought them two up, because I could think about it. But he's in Milwaukee now. He in Midwest, so he's used to that dreadful winter. I would say Miami would probably be the best fit.
Sean would like that if you go to Miami right now. Him and Bam would be crazy together.
Yeah.
But yeah, though, appreciate you, Cal, for coming into the show. Before you go, can I just get, you know what I'm saying, because you know I might need a sound, but can I just get a shout-out, say shout-out Real Takes Over Fake Debates for us before you get up out of here?
Oh, yeah. No, man, I definitely appreciate y'all for bringing me on. Like I said,
fan. I've been a fan for actually years, because I've known Shaq for years, believe mm-hmm. it or not. Yeah. Man, I love it. SB Talks, off real debate, no fake, man. I love it.
Appreciate you, Cal. Thanks for stopping in, brother.
All right, bro.
Salute. Shout out my boy Cal. Yes, sir. Shout out my boy Cal, my boy Calvin. Just came in on the stream, man. So we gotta get to the other guest. Shout out Cal again. Make sure you guys go back and watch and go ahead and support my boy.